May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Today we gather to, we gather today to celebrate the life of Tracy Roadhouse, who has been such an inspiration and dear sister in Christ to this church. For those of you who are maybe were students or colleagues who didn't know, but Tracy was intricately involved in the life of St. Gabriel's Parish. She was a vestry member. For those who don't know the Episcopal or Anglican tradition, that's kind of like a church elder. And as far as for the almost decade that I've been the pastor here, she's the only one that I know that has passed while still actively serving in that role in the leadership of the church. She's been here almost, I guess, a year or two after I was assigned here, so she's been with me from day one. I remember the very first day I met Tracy was at a Wednesday night Bible study, and she showed up, and following the service, everybody left. The service, maybe wrapped up around 9 o'clock, and we continued to talk in the parking lot until it was like 1:30 in the morning. You know Tracy, she just kept on going, man. So, and I remember at one point, it was so funny. I'm if you haven't already told from my accent, but I'm not from Marcus, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm Italian, so we talk with our hands, right? And so we're having this conversation in the parking lot, and at one point Tracy stops and says, "Are we fighting?" And I said, "No." She goes, "Okay, I just wanted to make sure you look very angry." I said, "No, I'm not fighting." But she's always been such a constant inspiration to us. I was so blessed to spend so much time with her during her final days. One day in particular, I went over there and we tried to give her husband Mo a break. And so I think I was there for like 4 or 5 hours. We were just hanging out talking. The message I'm going to give you today is from Tracy, because Tracy was very adamant about a couple of things that I don't think Trudy or even Mo and some of her family knew, because I think she didn't want to upset anybody at the time. So I'm going to tell you them all now. But she was very adamant that she didn't want her funeral to be a celebration of her life. That often happens when we do funerals. People say, "Please don't wear black. Wear bright colors. I want this to be a celebration of life." And that's totally fine. The rule is, when it's your funeral, it's your rules. You get to do whatever you want, all right, within limits. You get to do whatever you want, right? But she wanted this to, she wanted to get a message across. And this is the message I'm going to tell you today, okay? And it is that we think that life doesn't make sense. Life doesn't make sense, right? As Christians, we believe, for those of you who are maybe not Christian or maybe you've been away from the church, as Christians, we believe that this is how God works on us. This is how God calls us to himself and shapes us and transforms us, is through this pulpit, through the preaching of the word, through the administration of the sacraments, that this is how God shapes and molds and forms us as his children, okay? But then we say, well, what about all of those people that are outside of the church? The majority of the people in the world are not in the church anymore. I mean, they're outside of the church. So doesn't God love them too? Well, God does love them. God loves everyone. God loves everyone, and his will is for everyone to be saved. And so where is God reaching them? How is he reaching them? Okay, and we'll say, and Tracy would have said, well, that he reaches those people through other channels, through things like disappointments, closed doors. If you're facing closed doors in your life, it could be an opportunity or a relationship where the door slams shut. Broken hearts, frustration, illnesses, and sometimes death, right? Those are God's toolbox. Those are instruments in God's toolbox. And they are instruments to help turn our hearts back to our living Father. The problem with a lot of Christians, which me and Tracy came to understand, was that we seem to think that if we are in the church, if we're in the body of Christ, that he doesn't use those instruments on us. That is a message that has been called sometimes the health and wealth gospel. That as long as you're a Christian, you'll be protected from all of this. And Tracy didn't believe that. I don't believe that. We believe that, yes, that's how God does bring people outside of the church, inside of the church. Sometimes he has to use these things to touch our hearts, to make us turn to him in our rebellion. But that doesn't mean that as Christians, we are protected from that. We aren't shielded from that. Bad things happen, seemingly bad things happen to good people. And it looks like life doesn't make sense, right? In Psalm chapter 60, verse 8, God refers to this place called Moab, would be considered modern-day Jordan in the Middle East. He refers to it as his wash pot or his wash basin, okay? Which seems a little strange. And for those of you who don't know the Old Testament storyline, Moab is this constant pain. in the posterior of Israel. Okay, it's always causing problems for them. They're a thorn in Israel's side, constantly causing them problems, constantly, always, over and over. So the question was, well, why is God referring to Moab as his wash basin, as a foot bath, kind of a wash basin, right? A wash basin for what, or for whom, right? Well, it was for them. Meaning if this was their thorn in their side and this was their struggle and this was one of God's ultimate tools in his toolbox, what was he doing? He was trying to tell that he was purifying them, right? He was using strife and disappointments and broken hearts and things that would happen. Just read the Old Testament. There was a lot of bad things that went on back then. To basically help cleanse them, to teach them, to help them to grow, right? And I think we all have that, right? Like, do you have a Moab in your life? Do you have this thorn in your flesh? St. Paul in the New Testament talks about that, right? He says that the Lord gave me a thorn in my flesh, and it's been with me, and I beg the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, no, my power is made perfect in weakness. I won't remove it. And so we all have that, right? We all have a Moab. You probably have a Moab in your life. You have a thorn in your flesh. I can tell by looking at your faces right now, you're all like, he's sitting right next to me. Please, Father, shut up. No, it's okay. It's okay. We all have them, okay? And your Moab, or she's sitting right next to me, your Moab is not as bad as you may think, okay? Whatever it may be. Think of one of the most beautiful flowers is a rose, okay? And a rose has thorns. Would you rather have no thorns and therefore have no beauty of the rose? Would you rather have the rose with the thorns? You have to take both. They come both ways. And so we have to realize that these things are grace of God. Even if we don't understand them, they are a grace of God. I have 3 children of my own, and they are very, very stubborn. I don't know where they get that from. Probably from their mother. But they have 3 children of my own. And if I was to see one of my little girls running into traffic, and I could not get to her fast enough, and she was about to get struck by a car, and the only way I can get her attention was by throwing a rock at her, it would hurt her, right? But it would save her life. I would do it. And so would all of you, because it's for the greater good. She may not understand. All she knows is she got hit with a rock. But she, for the greater good, understands that there was a greater backing of this. I was protecting her, right? That's why I was doing that. So then the question becomes this. Well, why Tracy then? Why Tracy? Why was Tracy taking from us, you know, so young? She's had such a massive influence on so many of our lives. Look at the outpouring of this funeral. How many people showed up, right? So why Tracy? I mean, people will say, well, you know, she knew Jesus. She loved the church. She didn't need any reminders. She didn't need any thorns. Why would that happen, right? Well, Tracy told me 2 things that stuck with me before she died. One, she told me that she knew where she was going, that she surrendered her life to God, that she's understood it, she accepted this. And she said that she grew closer to God in these final days than in all her life. That she her, in her own words, was worth it. This was worth it. This was worth it. I learned things I couldn't have learned any other way. Okay? And then she made me promise, and she prayed, as I said, that this would not be a celebration of her life, even though we are celebrating her life. Sorry, Tracy. But that it would more importantly, that her early death could be used in some way, that might be used in some way, to help turn anyone back to our Lord, or first time to our Lord. She wanted this to be her final lesson, right? And so I want to show you guys something. This is Tracy's candle, and it has the name Tracy on it, and it has the year she died, 2016. Okay. Tracy loved this illustration, and I did it on Holy Thursday this year. For those of you who are with me, and you're gonna see it again. And she wanted me to do this. What she didn't know about was the bottle. I wasn't gonna put it in a bottle. Let me explain to you the bottle. Tracy, for as long as I have been here, has graciously supplied all of our communion wine. She would ask me how we would, her vino is what she would call it, right? Right before I was bringing her communion towards the end of her life, she would even when she was out of it, I would give her the bread, and then she would be totally drugged up, and she'd say, no vino, Tracy, all right? So because it contradicts your medication and makes you nauseous, so I couldn't give it to her. Well, this was Tracy's last. This is actually Tracy's last bottle of wine. Meaning, when I went to go prepare the altar and get everything ready for today, I didn't even think about it at the moment, but when I went to go grab the bottle and I poured it for the 2 cruets of the wine we were going to use, it was literally, as God is my witness, the last drop of wine. So Tracy was able to provide the very last drop of wine for her own funeral service, and in a certain way, preach her own sermon for for her own funeral service. So she was very, very unique. And so this will remain in St. Gabriel's as a memory of Tracy, because at St. Gabriel's we have a very, very close-knit family, and we have things like this, like in our own home with our grandparents and people who passed. We have memorials, and this will remain, and we will light it on her anniversary of her death. But she liked this analogy, and so here's the analogy. And I used it on Good Friday. Alexander the Great, before he would besiege a city, would light a candle. And it wouldn't go out. That illustration didn't work. It's the air conditioning. Okay, please stay lit. All right. So Alexander the Great would light a candle, and he would tell everybody, this candle represents my mercy. This represents my grace. Grace being a gift freely offered, something you don't deserve. And Alexander the Great would say, if you come out of your city, you've come out of your gates, and you come to me, I will assimilate you into my community. You will be grafted into my kingdom. If you are a soldier, if you lay down your weapons, you can be brought into my army. I will give you new weapons. If you are a politician, you will be grafted into my, assimilated into my government. I'm going to give you all a new chance. You can all come out, but only as long as this candle's burning. Once this candle goes out, I will come and I will lay siege to your city and I will break down your gates and I will sack everything and I will take you all away as chains and everything will go bad. But as long as this candle burns, you have my mercy. Okay? That was a great thing that he did. Now, those candles would go out. Some people would come out. Some people would get in. Some people thought they would be able to bargain with Alexander. I'll talk my way out of it. Some people thought, oh, he's not really going to do that. But some people took advantage of it. And as he assimilated them, his army grew bigger and bigger because he took on more and more soldiers. He took on more and more politicians. He took on more and more people. And city by city, nation by nation, Alexander conquered the world, right? Well, Jesus does the same thing to us today with a twist. When we were born, God lit our candle. And the candle is burning right now for all of us. Okay? And God said, this is my candle. You're behind the gates. But there's a twist. You're behind a self-imposed prison of your own making. You're hiding behind gates that are shielding you from my love and mercy. Unlike Alexander the Great, I'm not coming to conquer you and take away something good. I'm not this evil tyrant trying to besiege your city. I'm coming as a revolutionary to liberate the captives. That's what Isaiah says of Jesus. He has come to set the captives free, to set us all free. And so he offers you the same deal, but with a much greater love. And he says, so as long as your light is burning, you have this opportunity. But just like Alexander the Great, there was a twist. He said, I will light this candle, but you don't know how long it's going to burn. Meaning, he only lit it once. He was adamant about that. If it rains, you're out of luck. If a wind blows and blows it out, you're out of luck. So you may have 10 minutes, you may have 10 hours, you may have 10 days. You don't know when your candle's going to burn out, right? That's all it is. And so we have to ask ourselves, how strong are our gates? How strong are our gates? And why would we even want to build them up to a merciful king that offers you to be assimilated into his kingdom, that offers you, if you want to be a warrior for Christ, to lay down your arms and he'll give you new weapons, to say that if you want to be involved in the building of the kingdom as a politician, he will graft you into that, he will give you everything new, but the candle is burning. So God lit our candle, right? What are we going to tell him when it blows out? When all he wants is us. When all he wants is us, right? His son secured a place for us. He is the God of second chances. He is the God of second chances and third and fourth and fifth and sixth. As long as this is burning, they keep going. They don't run out, okay? So how much will we continue to ignore him? How much heartache and disappointment and frustration and closed doors will it take for us to turn to him before he gets our attention, right? How much have we do that? How much before he tells you he finally wants to help you and save you and give you his kingdom and love you, right? Tracy's mortal life, her candle, was extinguished this week. But her eternal flame will now burn on forever in paradise because she took advantage of the gracious offer of the king. And that's what she wanted for everybody. That's what she wanted for everybody. That's why she said she didn't want her last thing to be about her. She was selfless to the very end. That she wanted even this, when we should eulogize people and talk about them, and we still did that, Tracy, sorry, even though you didn't want that. But we still did that. But she wanted the majority of this to be about God, right? Tracy's greatest love in this world was Jesus and teaching. She liked you too much. She liked Jesus and teaching, okay? And her family, okay? But she loved those, okay? And she loved teaching others. And so it's my final prayer that her final lesson will remain always in our hearts. That life is short, that glory is eternal, right? So then she said to me, well then, Father John, life truly does make sense. When you see it from that point of view, when you see it from my point of view, she said, life does make sense. She told me so. Tracy told me so, and I believe it. It's the same message that Jesus told me so long ago. And now it's the message that both Tracy and I tell all of you, that you are to turn to Christ while there's still time, while your candle is still burning. Don't waste it. Amen. Amen.